half. Opening day is March 28th. In the NBA, Detroit hosts a New York team tonight that's lost 14 straight. I'm Steve DeSager. We are
It's Friday. It's Friday. We're so glad it's Friday.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, brisk. Low near 13. Partly sunny Saturday, high of 23.
It's time for Elyria Medical Centers, you and your health. Here is Dr. Ernie DeGidio of Sheffield Primary Care talking about the importance of vitamin D.
The current guidelines for vitamin D are to keep it over 30. A study from around 2009 said that if we raise the suggested levels of vitamin D, instead of being 30, have it be 40 to 60, you would have about 60,000 less cases of breast cancer annually in the U.S. and Canada, and about 50,000 less cases diagnosed with colon cancer in the U.S. and Canada. And of those who get those cancers, people who actually end up getting diagnosed with those, you would have half the death rate on those. It is estimated if you increase the vitamin D levels. You live in Ohio, you're my patient, you're probably low on vitamin D. Let's see, I would recommend everyone get their vitamin D checked annually with their doc, or if they'd like to come see me at Sheffield Primary Care. Our phone number is 440-328-3420.
This has been You and Your Health from Elyria Medical Center.
This forecast is brought to you by Life Care Center of Westlake. With long-term, intermediate, inpatient, and outpatient rehab and a dedicated memory care unit, Life Care Center of Westlake can handle all your clinical needs. Call Life Care Center of Westlake.
It's Friday. It's Friday. Like we're so glad it's Friday.
Ooh, baby. Yes, indeedy. Overnight brisk, low near 13. This is Bullseye on Weather, by the way. Saturday, partly sunny, high of 23.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, final hour of Bull's Eye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bull Barch, Matt Douglas with you. On a windy and frigid Friday, exciting times though on the high school hoop scene. Two games to bring you tonight, one on the radio and at WEOL.com Stream 1. Lorain taking on Cleveland Heights. Matt Douglas will be joined by Rob Polinski over at Bay Village High School. Bay taking on Elyria Catholic. A couple of really good ones, and again, tournament seating to be announced on Sunday. But we're going to turn our attention to the Cleveland Indians right now. We'll talk some Tribe as we bring in Jim Ingram with the Chronicle Telegram, Medina Gazette, and also a special contributor to Forbes.com. Jim, as always, we tremendously appreciate the time, and I want to dive into a piece that you wrote yesterday, and you detailed what you had described at the very beginning of it as maybe a trip down fantasy into fantasy land, but still, it's fun to think about it, maybe some possibilities, but this was centered around the idea of how and why the Indians should be pursuing the idea of going after a Bryce Harper. And while that would be fantastic and it would be really awesome, it doesn't seem like it's all that realistic at this point. But you mentioned in the article, though, a logical argument could be made. So I want to give you the forum here to make that logical argument.
Okay, I will make my logical argument. And it really revolves around the Indians' situation. I know this is, and everyone knows that this is a winter when they're trying to reduce their payroll, and they've done a good job of that, and they really left themselves with pretty much a triple-A outfield, I guess you'd have to say. So they really do need an outfielder. And obviously, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, for that matter, but Harper has been unable to find a deal that he's comfortable with. And, you know, spring training starts next week, and he's still looking for a team. So I just thought that, just get a little short one-year marriage between the Indians and Harper. You know, bring him in for 1 year, pay him, you know, $25 million or something like that, and, you know, let him have a big year in a very, I would say, Bryce Harper-friendly ballpark, which Progressive Field is. Left-handed hitters that find those right field seats pretty cozy, and you know he could pile up another big year statistically, and it would help the Indians in that this is probably the last year they're going to have you know, that whole killer rotation of theirs hitting on all cylinders, assuming that everyone stays healthy. So why not go for broke one last time, sign this guy for 1 year, $25 million. Both parties know it's only for 1 year, and, you know, he's leaving after this year. But, you know, maybe you, you know, can catch lightning in a bottle, although this is not wouldn't be a surprise if he had a big year. But I just think there's a lot of reasons. And, you know, it would be a huge boost to the Indians' attendance, which could use a huge boost. The last few years they've really kind of struggled in the middle of the pack attendance-wise, even though they've been one of the better teams in the major leagues. So I think there's a lot of pieces that you could fit together and say, well, that's not a bad idea. But, you know, the biggest one would be the Indians agreeing to basically take on a salary that would wipe out all the savings they've made by all the moves they've made this year. And Harper obviously agreeing to do just a one-year deal. And, you know, there'd be some injury risks there for him, I suppose. But, you know, why not? He's got to play somewhere. And why not 1 year in Cleveland and just see where it goes from there?
What's interesting is that, yes, this isn't likely, but it's fun to think about simply because you point out the economic aspects of this here. And I think what's really fascinating to think about is this, you, of course, wrote yesterday before we knew about the whole Francisco Lindor injury. But with Lindor playing alongside Bryce Harper, you've got two of the biggest budding young stars in the game. Potentially, you'd have something that could make the marketing and communication staff go crazy for the Tribe. So, Jim, I think there really is something to be said for the economical impact of this as well.
Yeah, I would throw Jose Ramirez in there, too. I mean, mm-hmm. You talk about a big three, a lineup with a big three. That would probably be the biggest three that any lineup in the majors would have if they were hitting almost back-to-back-to-back. But, yeah, I mean, it's an unconventional way to approach a problem that seems to be growing by the year, which is the free agents, especially the big ones, are finding a hard time getting the deals they're comfortable with. I mean, if you remember last year, J.D. Martinez didn't sign with the Red Sox till I think they were unloading the truck in Florida for spring training when he signed with them. So, you know, I think Machado and Harper are probably, you know, thinking that some team's finally going to step forward and give them the kind of money they want. But, you know, the other thing is Harper would have a hard time finding a better team to join than the Indians right now. I mean, you can almost guarantee him they're going to be in the postseason and a chance to make it to the World Series. And, you know, he could show, you know, prospective employers a year down the road, you know, what he can do, you know, in the postseason. You know, he's been in a lot of them with Washington, but it'd give him another chance to kind of show off, you know, if he could be the offensive leader of a team that could potentially win a World Series, which would help him, you know, with his next contract.
I know you mentioned J.D. Martinez and the late signing last year with the Boston Red Sox, but it seems we're really drawing close here with a free agent who it seems a lot of teams would want to have on their squad. Have you ever seen a moment like this in Major League Baseball where we're this close to the start of spring training and still the big name out there in the sport hasn't been signed?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic because I think a lot of signings have been held up by waiting to see what these two guys were going to get, and that would kind of set the upper end of the market, and everybody would fall in behind those guys, and it hasn't happened. And I can't really remember. I mean, there was back in 81, I think it was, when they had the huge work stoppage. Actually, 94, I think, was the bigger one. But there was a collusion case that went there, and they ended up the players ended up winning, and a lot of players started got checks from players that because the courts decided there was collusion to not sign anybody, and that kind of was a rare instance of that. I'm not saying there's collusion now, but I'm sure if you asked Machado and Harper's agents, they would kind of raise an eyebrow and wonder what's going on here. Why all these teams that potentially have a chance to win a World Series don't want two gigantically impactful bats on their team. So it's almost like a game of chicken, and we're waiting to see who's going to blink first.
Yeah, and that's why I find this fascinating, because it's so hard for us as fans to sit here and look at this and say, you know what, the owners need to go ahead and pony up the money, or on the other side of it, you know what, these guys need to take whatever's being offered. We don't totally know what exactly has been offered. You know, there were rumors out there about how Machado had apparently been offered a 7-year deal by the White Sox, and if that were the case, you know, maybe he just didn't think there was enough money involved there to commit to a team that's still rebuilding. You know, there was the report out there that at the end of last season, Harper turned down a $300 million deal for 10 years with the Washington Nationals, and it's easy to sit here now and say that just a few days remaining before spring training, he probably should have taken that deal. I don't know that he's going to get a better one. And maybe that's what's holding this thing up right now, is the fact that he's sitting there thinking, no way. You know, how did my value go down since the end of last season? But I think it makes your proposal here at least a little more intriguing, simply because he's only got to make a 1-year commitment to the franchise and vice versa. And for the Indians, that's right in their wheelhouse, whether it be 25 or 30 million bucks for a year. And as you stated, Jim, that kind of gives him an opportunity here to say, see, I had a great year. I'm worth more than the 30 million bucks a year for an entire decade that the Nationals were offering me last year. So at least to the forefront, I know people are listening right now thinking, no way in the world this could happen. But I mean, the numbers tell you this is a partnership that even if we are living in rainbow land here, it still could work.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll just, for example, if they did sign Harper for 1 year, best case scenario for him and the Indians, say he wins the Triple Crown, the Indians win the World Series, I would think that there wouldn't be this reluctance to sign him when he went back into the market a year from now because of all that. And you know, it seems like a good opportunity, this kind of 1-year setup, for him to, you know, start playing baseball again, which is obviously what he wants to do, but still have open to him, you know, you're a free agent next year again, which is really, when these guys enter the free agent market, most of them, when they sign a contract, it's 4, 5, 6, 7 years sometimes, and, you know, they're not going to be in the open market again for that many years. So this is one where he could just, you know, play a year, do what he does, and go back into the market next year, and you know, you'd be kind of betting on yourself. But I think a lot of people would like to bet on Bryce Harper doing some major stuff in a 1-year deal.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Ingram with the Chronicle-Telegram, Medina Gazette, and a special contributor at Forbes as well. I want to get into some other orders of business. You tweeted something out a few moments ago that I found really interesting. Now, certainly without having Francisco Lindor for the next 7 to 9 weeks with that calf strain, not ideal, but not the end of the world either for the Indians because, look, I mean, I think you'll agree that he's going to be based, and not just him, but the entire team is going to be judged on what they do in October, not necessarily in August. But it is scary to think about. You mentioned this a couple hours ago. The entire lineup, almost the entire lineup, changes over. I think you mentioned 7 players now. Assuming Lindor's not part of the opening day roster, there are going to be 7 players that actually played and started in Game 3 of the ALDS against the Astros that would not be in the opening day lineup come March 28th.
Yeah, it's Lindor, Brantley, Encarnacion, Donaldson, Diaz, Guyer, and Gomes. And, Lindor's going to be back, and we can presume safely, I would say, that, you know, this isn't, you know, better to happen now than, you know, on September 1st or October 1st. But, you know, it's the one thing that gives you a little bit of pause, though, if you remember, for some reason, calves seem to be an ongoing problem for the Indians. Lonnie Chisenhall, the last 2 years, has missed large stretches of time with calf injuries. He thought, you know, one time he had it all solved and he was ready to go, and then he was warming up before the game he was supposed to start, and he pulled it again, and he was back on the DL again. So calves can be kind of a tricky thing, and I'm sure there's no reason, obviously, to rush him back into the lineup. I'm talking about Lindor, because the division they're in, you know, they can still, you know, do well without him. But I wouldn't, you know, they're saying 7 to 9. I would tend to think it'd be closer to 9, just for the fact that, you know, they don't want to take any chances when he comes back. He's going to be 100% and stay 100%. You know, plus the added thing is, you know, you're opening the season in Minnesota in cold weather, which is, you know, the perfect weather for another kind of muscle pull or a calf pull or whatever you want to say. So, yeah, it's unfortunate it happened, but it's fortunate it happened, you know, with enough time to him to get back and be the usual Francisco Lindor when the games start to matter in the middle of the season, towards the end of the season.
I think the scary thing about it, though, Jim, is it kind of shows you just how close, obviously with the pitching rotation and all, but I mean, the Indians are just one or two injuries, it seems, away from being the Tigers or the Twins or the Royals at this point.
Well, offensively, their lineup now, the depth of their lineup has really taken a hit this year. I mean, the bottom three or four last year was not real good, but now you're almost up to where it's like the first three or four guys, and then, you know, you're just going to have to mix and match. The outfield really is an area of, in my opinion, serious concern. I mean, mm-hmm. There's really nobody out there that scares any pitcher in the American League. They signed Matt Joyce yesterday, who's a nice bench piece, but that's what all these guys are on paper, basically are fourth outfielders and extra players, and three of them are going to be starting from opening day until, you know, who knows how long it'll go. And, you know, that puts a little more pressure on the pitching side where, you know, you're not going to be getting 6, 7, 8 runs a game. You're going to have to, you know, win some 3-2 games and 4-2 games. And so it's, you know, in any other division, I wonder if they would have done such a radical reduction of the payroll and then talent that was on the roster. So it's fortunate for them that they still seem like they have enough to comfortably get to the postseason. But, I mean, if Ramirez gets hurt, Lindor gets hurt, you know, those are, you know, your two big guys, and then you're down to trying to win 1-0 and 2-1 maybe.
Well, and Matt Joyce is a name that's a little intriguing simply because, you know, last year he had some back issues. Numbers certainly weren't the best. But he's a couple of years removed from having 800-plus OPS seasons, which are certainly nothing to sneeze at. And on top of that, it's a guy that has the ability to hit double-digit homers throughout the course of the year. I don't know, though, that at 34 years old, he's the kind of guy you can play every single day. And I think you alluded to that earlier, Jim. I mean, he's kind of a platoon guy at this point because – he's just not hit very well against lefties recently.
Yeah, that's true of a lot of left-handed hitters. He does have a pretty decent resume, I will say, and when you look at, you know, the stable of outfielders they have that they're going to go to camp with, his is probably as good as anybody. I'm still intrigued by Bradley Zimmer, you know, if and when he comes back. I mean, he's going to come back, but when that'll be and if he can just kind of tone down the recklessness in the outfield that's led to all of his injuries, I think he has a chance to be a pretty decent player. And that Orlando Mercado is a minor league guy they got from the Cardinals last year that hasn't gotten a lot of mention, but he might be a guy that he's a center fielder and he might be able to help them out if he has a big spring. And Leonis Martin looks like he can play defensively in center field. Offensively, you know, he's a bottom of the order kind of hitter. So, you know, that's the other thing. You're talking about the three outfield spots, which for most teams, that's where a lot of the offense comes from. And where the Indians are concerned this year, that's where the biggest offensive holes are. So it's very heavy on the infield with talent and production and very light on the outfield in those two categories.
Taking a look at the bullpen here, I know it's certainly a bit of a mixed bag, and I think you'll agree that bullpens are just so fickle. You know, from one year to the next, so many things can change, and I know that was a major area of concern going into the offseason, although if you consider what both Cody Allen and Andrew Miller did last year, not having those guys come back this year isn't as big of a deal. But, you know, there are teams that spend a lot of money on their bullpen, and then they just don't end up getting the results that they want. If nothing else, this is a fascinating group that the Indians will invite to spring training simply because, Jim, there are a lot of unknowns here.
Well, there are, and when you have a lot of unknowns, you know, you're playing the numbers, hoping that some of them become knowns by the middle of the season. And I will give them credit. They've been good through the years. Going all the way back to the 90s when John Hart was the general manager of building bullpens, you know, guys that they sign or bring to camp on and non-roster guys, and you don't think much of it at the time. And, you know, by June, all of a sudden, he's kind of an important guy in your pen. I mean, Neil Ramirez, for example, last year, he got off to a bad start, and he had a pretty good, like, six-week run, and before he kind of struggled again at the end of the season. So, you know, if you get enough of those guys, you'd like to think that, you know, they could kind of piece it together and find, you know, five of them at least that can be fairly dependable. I thought it was very encouraging they brought back Oliver Perez, who was sensational last year and didn't really get, you know, much mention nationally for it because he almost didn't even have a bad outing, much less a bad week or something. So that's one guy you can count on, and I think we all were impressed by Hand as a closer, and he should be able to do that fine. But you know, the rest of it is just kind of a crapshoot. They're going to see what they have in spring training. I'm sure there'll be maybe a lot of B games this year so they can get a good look at all these guys. And hopefully by the end of camp, they'll have five of them out there, five or six or seven of them that they can count on.
Yeah, if nothing else, it'll make spring training pretty interesting because we'll get a chance to see all of these guys in some form or fashion, and I can't wait to see the group that they roll out there on March 28th against the Twins. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Try not to get blown away out there with these gale force winds ripping through here, but as always, we appreciate the time. You have a good weekend.
Thanks. My pleasure, guys.
Thank you very much, Jim. Again, Jim Ingram with the Chronicle-Telegram, Medina Gazette, also a special contributor to Forbes. Great stuff. And I think it's fascinating. You know, he wrote the article yesterday, and mm-hmm. I thought, boy, that's interesting. You know, I know it's not something that the Tribe would do just because it's not their M.O.
Well, they've been mentioned. Everybody, I guess, yeah. In Major League Baseball has been brought up in this conversation now.
But this it's such a fascinating proposal that he put together there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The only thing I would say in Bryce Harper's argument would be, well, haven't I done that? Haven't I showed this league what I can do in the previous years in Washington? Which is why I think he'd probably be a little more hesitant. But look, I mean, if you were going to do this, the Indians are a team you'd easily make the postseason on. You could possibly end up winning a World Series on, which is what I would think every Major League Baseball guy would want to do. I mean, right now, the other big front runners don't really need him. Houston doesn't need any outfield. I mean, everyone I'm sure would love to take the bat, but the Yankees probably don't want to spend that much money. And if they were going to do it, they'd want the big, big contract from them. So the Indians seem to be that team that, hands down, are probably going to end up winning the Central Division and could make a possible run for a World Series. They did it in 2016, and they had far worse pitching.
See, that's just so interesting. Like, I was reading through this yesterday, and I thought, God, I know this is a pipe dream, and I know they probably won't do it, but think about that.
Boy, wouldn't it be cool, though, if it popped up.
Yeah. Be fantastic. Like, you know, Jim detailed some of the economic factors involved in here as well. You know, you hear a lot about Major League Baseball. The draw is having star power. Let's just say that they were to pull the trigger on something like this, and they offered him a one-year deal for $30 million or whatever it is, and I know that goes against all that we've been hearing, that they've been looking to reduce payroll and pare it back, all that
good
stuff.
Yeah, but there's sometimes you take that shot.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about the window, and the window isn't getting any bigger for the Cleveland Indians. So maybe you throw that money at it, thinking the window could be shutting here pretty soon. If we're going to do this, perhaps we could get that win. I know Edwin was kind of he wasn't a late sign, but he was a little closer towards the beginning of the season. And a big part of that had to do, he was in free agency and the big chips hadn't fallen. And he decided, all right, I want to play for Tito, and decided to sign with the Indians.
Yeah, and again, as we talked about with Jim, like, how cool would that be? You'd have two of the game's biggest, the two of the game's biggest budding stars under the age of 30. You got Bryce Harper and Frankie Lindor.
Gosh,
think
man.
About that if you had that. I mean,
it'd be amazing.
From a purely from a marketing perspective.
It's hard to believe Bryce Harper's under the age of 30 as long as he's been in the league, but yeah.
I mean, that would be wild because you think about what that would do. I think that would certainly help you at the gate.
I'd sell out other team stadiums.
Right.
I think.
The merchandise, the sales from the merchandising perspective as well. I mean, there are just so many things.
Probably arguably two of the most recognizable guys in the game, too. I mean, those are the faces of Major League Baseball right now.
Right. Right. I think that would be really interesting to see if they could ever make that work.
Throw Aaron Judge into that conversation, too. But, yeah, I mean, that'd be huge.
Yeah, no, that would be really interesting if it ever came down to that. All right, we're way late for a break. We'll take a break, and here in just a minute, Matt will tell us what's going on with the local news, and then